Welcome to the Media Ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Dan Bosco.
We've been in a series. I want to transition into our message. And we've been in a series on tuning into God. And I don't know how that's been for you, but I hope it's been encouraging. Boy, it's just really encouraged me in so many ways. What it looks like to simply tune in and hear from God, as we say up here, hearing God's voice for ourselves as well as for building up others. And that's where we've been. And I want to take us on a journey today talking about something, on hearing from God. And I titled this, Following God into the Desert. Following God into the Desert. Because what we find out if we study Scripture, if we really dig in, there's times that God just wants to draw us. It's a very spiritual reality. God wants to draw us into a place, into a desert experience, which is not always easy. It can actually be uncomfortable. But it's a private place for us and God to connect. It's a place for us to be alone with Him. To experience Him. And it may be fueled out of a decision we have to make. It may be a change in our life. It just may be something we're going through emotionally. But it's these times that God is drawing us and wooing us in to a place with Him that we haven't been before. But the good news is this. In that place, there is healing. In that place, there is deliverance. In that place, there's refinement. In that place, there's empowerment. In that place is amazing blessing. But we need to be willing to go there. And that's the challenge. And some of you may be here today and just say, well, why do I need this? You know, I'm doing pretty good in the Christian life. And the reality is, we all have stuff. Unless you became a Christian and everything just got perfect in your life, if that's the case, let me know. I'd like to talk to you. I like to find out what drink you drank or whatever it was, that you had that experience where everything just now is perfect. There's no longer any bad thoughts. There's no longer any bad actions. Everything just goes perfectly. That's not the case. There is a need for us to encounter God, to hear from God in ways that He begins to refine us and change us. And it could be an issue of pride. It could be an issue of lust. It could be an issue of greed. It could be an issue of just woundedness. That others have done to us. It could be an issue of woundedness that we brought upon ourselves. But there's these things in our soul that God wants to draw us into a desert experience so that He, out of His love for us, can clear up. And that's the most important thing. It's out of His love that He draws us into these desert experiences. It's not like, hey, punishment time. It's like, hey, I want to do something in you. That particular attitude, that particular lifestyle is killing you. I'm going to draw you into a place so that you can get rid of that. So you can be healed. So you can be encouraged. So you can be refined. So you can be delivered. And then you can be blessed. And I'm going to show you a passage today where it just talks about God drawing us into that and what that looks like and the blessings that come out of it. But if you hear nothing else, hear this today. When God draws us in, if our heart is open to hear from Him and listen to Him, the blessings that come from it are unbelievable. I'm going to show you that in Scripture today. The blessings that God promises when we come to that place. And some people may say, and I've asked this question in the past, well, why the desert? Can't He just speak to me now? I mean, why do we have to do the desert thing? The reality is that God speaks all the time. We just struggle to listen. When life is good and life is comfortable and life is cruising and flying, it's just really hard to listen. We often get distracted. We often get so wrapped up in our other stuff, it's really hard to listen. So out of His love, He says, come on, I got something really good for you. But will you follow me into the desert? And that's His offer. That's His blessing. So let's look at this passage. It's out of Hosea chapter 2. If anybody knows anything about Hosea, it's a real interesting book. right? It's the story of this man, Hosea. Good guy. And God says, all right, Hosea, here's what I want you to do. I want you to marry this unfaithful prostitute. Now, that's a calling. Now, Hosea is a prophet for God. I mean, this isn't just, you know, this guy is one of God's leaders. He's speaking. He speaks for God to the people. And God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go marry this prostitute. You think, whoa, what is that about? Her name's Gomer. Maybe you've heard the story of Hosea and Gomer. Single guys, note to self. If you feel God's leading you to marry a Gomer, you may want to come and pray with us. We're not sure where that's going to go. All right, a Gomer-like person. This is a challenging person. This is a woman that's been beaten down and beat up. And God says, Hosea, go and love her. Go and marry her. And you're like, well, why? And you dig deeper into it and you realize it's an allegory. It's an allegory for the reality of us and God. At that time, it was Israel. It was God's way of giving a message to his people, his Israel, and saying to them, listen, this is what you're doing to me. I have married you, and you're going out and living like a prostitute, Israel. I have given my life to you. I am faithfully here for you. But you're going out and living like hell, so to speak. And he says, but you know what? Out of my love for you, I am so faithful to woo you back in. I am so faithful to say, despite what you've done to me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will woo you back in. And that's God's promise to us. That's God's message for us today. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter what stage of life we may be in, his heart is always out of his love to woo us back in to him, that we may experience all that he has for us. Now, Hosea 2, we'll read the passage here. But then, I'll read it and then kind of break it down for us. But then I will win her back, woo or allure once again. Now, he's speaking of Hosea here, or Hosea and Gomer. He's talking about wooing Gomer back. But then I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. She will give herself to me there as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from her captivity in Egypt. When that day comes, says the Lord, you will call me my husband instead of my master. This is a powerful passage, folks. I'm going to break it down for us. And I know you'll be encouraged by what we see in this. But a couple things. I want you to see God's heart. His heart is always to woo us back. He doesn't care where we've been. I mean, he cares, but he's like, it doesn't matter to me. I will woo you back. I will always come after you. We can go have had the most reckless Saturday night last night, and God is here this morning saying, come on back. Come on back. Amen? We could have had the most raunchy week, the most raunchy month, the most raunchy year, and God is saying, come on back. I got something good for you. I got something good for you. This word, allure, it means, as it says, win her back, it's also known as woo or allure. It literally means that it's a persuasion by means of attractive benefit. It's a persuasion. It's not forced, but it's a wooing. It's a persuasion by means of attractive benefit. It means God is saying, I got something really, really good here. And the idea of it being the desert is that it's a place of privacy. It's a place of, it's actually parallel to coming out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt and they crossed through the Red Sea, there was this huge deliverance and they're in this wilderness. And what's coming after the wilderness? The promised land. It's that idea of, I got something so good for you. Now just come with me, follow me. I'm going to take you into an experience here and follow me. And it's going to be so amazing when we're through it. So let's look at this. Some questions and promises. And the first one I ask is this. Are we, go ahead, Ken, bring that next slide up. Are we too comfortable to be wooed into the desert? Are we simply too comfortable with our lives as is to be wooed into the desert? I mean, are our other lovers, quote unquote, simply more attractive, safer, and easier? Is our life such that, man, I just don't want to go there? I don't want to go into the desert. Like I said, the desert looks different for everybody. It may be a location. It may just be an emotional journey. It's just not a, quote, physical desert. It could be at times a place where we get out in the wilderness. It could be a hike into the woods, bring our Bible and our journal, and God just speaks to our heart and downloads because we got alone and quiet with him. But it could just be an emotional journey he's taken us through to heal us and to change us. You know, when you study the scriptures, you realize the greats of the faith, if I may say, all had desert experiences. You look at Abraham. Even from the beginning, when God said, hey, come out of that area, we're going up to this place called Haran. Well, what's up there? It doesn't matter. Just go. Just follow me. You could talk about Isaac and Abraham having to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. Desert-like experience. He could talk about Isaac and not being able to find a mate. And I know some of us in here can relate to that. Desert-like experience. You could talk about Jacob, his wrestle with God, his deception, and then him marrying this into this family that was very deceptive. And then him out in the wilderness from that point wrestling with God. A desert-like experience. Talk about Ruth and Naomi. Talk about Esther. Into the king's palace raised up for such a time as this. And you realize all these wonderful people of the faith, they were willing to go into the desert. And that's the question, are we willing to go there? And the irony is this, folks, that I find in my own life, maybe you find in your life, we will go there physically in this town. What I mean by that, we will go outside our comfort zones in amazing ways in this town, physically speaking. We will go and we will hike 14ers. We will climb Maroon Bells or hike it, whatever you do, climb it. We will go to extremes physically. We will discomfort ourselves physically. But when it comes to the spiritual, boy, we often don't go there. Like, we don't want to go there. But physically, we'll go do it. I remember the first time, I think I've told the story before, I hiked Aspen Mountain. I was first time here. I was so excited. I went up the Ute Trail and then all the way up to the top. I don't know what it took me, probably 2 hours and a half. I'm not even sure. And I got down and went into what used to be Zele. Remember that place? Now Peaches. And I went in there and bumped into somebody from here, from the church. I won't say who it was. Brian Reagan. No, it wasn't Brian. It wasn't Brian. But bumped into him and said, hey, man, you just hiked Aspen Mountain. I'm so excited. And guess what question I got? Yeah, what was your time? I'm like, time? I'm just glad I got to the top. Are you kidding me? I made it to the top. The competitive nature of our town physically, where we're willing to go physically, is just amazing. But when it comes spiritually, we struggle, don't we? If we're all honest, it's like even me bringing up the thought of this idea of going in to the desert can really strike some bad times. But the point is this, we have to be willing to get uncomfortable, folks. We have to be willing to get uncomfortable for God to really speak to our hearts. There's no way around it. I'm going to practice this for a moment. What I'm going to do is just have us practice. We're all here. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm not going to do anything. Don't worry, I won't jump off the stage and jump on you. I just want you to close your eyes and ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything that you want to bring me into the desert for right now in my life? Just close your eyes and try listening to God. And see if he speaks to you. Lord, is there anything you want to bring me into the desert for right now? We'll just be quiet for a moment. maybe ask, Lord, is there anything I'm pushing against you on? Maybe ask, Lord, is there any place or anything that needs healing or deliverance or refinement? Thank you, Lord. You know, I trust God just wanted to speak to you. And I'd be curious, I'm not going to ask anybody to volunteer anything, but anybody just feel like God spoke to them? Heard from them? Anybody hear anything? Some folks? Awesome. And I want to encourage you, make a daily practice of that. I'd encourage you to do that every morning. And just say, Lord, speak to me. It's for some of you, that may have been a little uncomfortable. You're like, hey, dude, I just came here for some coffee, a burrito, and a little inspiration, you know? I'm not looking to get uncomfortable. But that's what it involves, a willingness to just be quiet before God and say, Lord, what is it where you want to work on my soul? Is it a relationship issue? Is it my marriage? Is it my finances? Is it an attitude? Is it a behavior? And it's just this willingness to say, Lord, I'm willing to go in the desert with you. And like you say, sometimes that's a physical location. I've gone away for a couple days on a personal retreat at times, just by myself, just to be quiet and alone. There's times it's a hike in the woods. Sometimes it's just sitting on your couch, quiet before God. But I know, even as I look around and I see some tears today, that you see God wants to speak. And how often we just say, oh, no, I don't want to go there. But we'll go hike the heck out of Aspen Mountain and get up there in 1 minute, 1 hour and 37 minutes. But we won't go there. So the first thing is, the first question is that. The second question, and we'll just come back to it, is my heart in a place to receive and be spoken to? Come back to that passage for a minute, Ken. Let's just read that. But then I will win her back once again. I will lead and allure her in the desert, and I will speak tenderly to her there. Those are special words. The idea of God speaking tenderly to us. I want you to be encouraged. God wants to speak. He's not a silent God. He loves to speak to us. He loves to nurture our heart and talk to our hearts. He loves to be there with us. We sang those amazing songs. Draw me a little bit closer. Take me a little bit deeper. Right? What is that about? It's saying, Lord, let's speak. Let's talk. Let's be encouraged. But it involves being quiet, gang. It's one thing to get alone with God. It's another thing to be quiet with God. Practicing these they call them the spiritual disciplines of solitude. The discipline of silence, where we're just quiet before God. Because you know what? We're so tempted to put the earphones in. I mean, I got them right in my pocket right here. We pump in the earphones. We pump on the music. We may have something on in the background. Not bad. It may have its time. But boy, how often do we just get quiet? And I know for those of you with young kids, that can be a challenge, huh? Right? Talking to somebody that said, boy, just yesterday that said, you know, my child's getting up about the same time I get up now. Right? And the challenge of, well, how do I find time now? Oh, what do we do? Get up another, whatever, half hour earlier. And then the child gets up a half hour earlier. And Amy Carter says, I'm going to have to get up at 2 in the morning, right? Yeah. But being quiet and being alone with this, I don't know your perspective on this thing called the Bible. I think it was Jars of Clay sang a song one time called Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, right? This thing is full of wisdom. But more so than that, it's God's word. And when you read this thing, I kid you not, when we can get in that quiet place, We just don't, okay, I got to read some scripture. Okay, here we go, here we go. That's not probably going to do a whole lot. But boy, when we get in that quiet place and we're quiet before God and we open this thing up and we start reading this with an open heart, I kid you not, God will speak. Amen. He will honor his word. He will speak through his word. So I encourage you, just simply be alone with God. And this idea of tenderly, it means gently, that we know when we come to God, when we're alone with God, it's like it's a tender conversation. It's not like we get alone with God and it's real quiet. And we're like, okay, God, speak. You're screwed up! You know, it's not like that. It's not like God just screams at us. He's like, man, I'm just going to talk to you tenderly. I'm just going to talk to your heart. I'm just going to help you understand where you may need healing, where you may need refinement. And he'll bless us in that. I wonder sometimes if we're afraid of what God may say. I wonder sometimes if that's why we don't go there. We're just simply afraid of what God may tell us. When I was a fairly new Christian in 1990, back in Atlanta, by a matter of fact, and listening to this, it was Missions Weekend, or Missions Week, I think, at First Baptist Church of Atlanta with Dr. Charles Stanley. Some of you know that name. Missions Week, and I really felt God was doing something in my heart about getting into ministry full time. I was in the computer industry before that, and that he was leading me to get into ministry. But you know what? I had a huge fear. You want to know what it was? My fear was that if I listened to God, he would tell me to move to Ethiopia, live like Mother Teresa, and dress like Gandhi. Oh, I don't know where that came from. But that was my fear. It was like, man, if I really give myself to this, if I really follow God, if I really get into this, and Lord, if I really listen to you, maybe that's what you're going to tell me to do. I'm going to have to move away from here and get into some location that's going to kill me and I'm going to hate. But folks, when the Lord leads us into the desert and he speaks to us, where he's going to take us is a place of blessing. It's a place of encouragement. It is a place where he's going to do amazing things in our life. So I just encourage you, practice listening to God. And I want to show you. I want to show you what he's going to do. So let's move on to the passage again. Verse 15, I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But I will return her vineyards to her. Do you know what that means? This is a promise. It means I'm going to restore what's been lost. Do any of you have any areas of your life where you've lost something? Relationally, physically, health, financially? We all have, haven't we? We all have had loss in our lives. It's a part of being on the planet. But God promises when we go into the desert, when he speaks to us, and we have those open hearts to hear, he will restore our vineyards. He will restore, and what's a vineyard? Just think of fruit. Think of something going from just broken vines that are producing nothing to these healthy vines with this tremendous fruit. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to restore whatever has been lost in your life. He wants to redeem wherever things have gone wrong. God will redeem it. Look at this quote from John Eldridge. I love this. Part of the journey forward is a journey backward into our stories to bring all the events of our lives, the arrows and the hauntings, okay, the broken vineyards, into the light of the sacred romance as God's story for their proper interpretation. Answers mean nothing without real questions. We lost heart initially because we had no one to tell us how to reconcile the haunting and the arrows. Or if we did, our interpreters often got the story wrong. We have issues. We go through tough times. We go through problems. We have no one to help us understand what to do with it. Or else the people that try to help us understand, they get it all wrong. Redemptive remembering is where we develop a life script by interpreting the past with both the arrows and haunting in a way that gives energy to the present and direction to the future. Isn't that good? That's from the Sacred Romance. a book he wrote. This idea where God restores the vineyards, that he will take wherever we've been and he will speak into it. I can tell you, and Dan Cale can tell you because we've talked about this stuff. Over the last few months, I'm just telling you, God took me through 25 years of history and he restored vineyards and is still doing it. That I had no idea. Just old hurts. Just patterns and things of how I was thinking and fears and how I, you know, just through the process of sitting and going through that, how God restored that. And for some of you here today, you know, as I did, I sat down with Dan about, 4 or 5 months ago. I said, Dan, I got some stuff I need to talk about. I don't know what it is, but there's a deep ache and pain because you know what happened? I'd find times I'd get alone with God. And I'm just being honest with you here. I would just start weeping in deep tears and say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. And I had no idea what was behind that. I just had no idea. All I knew was that there was aches and hauntings and pains. And some of you are there today where you know when you get alone, you almost don't want to get alone because if you go there, something starts stirring and you're like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to deal with whatever's there. And I'm just saying, when you get alone with God, when you go into the desert with God, when you allow him to speak to your heart, he restores your vineyard. Amen? Not only that, but he does a couple other things. Let's read on in this passage. Restoration of what was lost. But then he says, and I'll transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. She will give herself there, will give herself to me there. It literally means to sing, as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from her captivity in Egypt. So a couple more promises from God on this situation. Go ahead, Kevin, the next slide. Exchange of trouble for hope. Whatever trouble you may be experiencing right now, you know when you go into the desert with God, when you allow him to speak to you, he will turn your trouble into hope. It's amazing what this passage goes back to. It's the sin of Achan and how he was, in a sense, just sent into the valley of Achor, which means trouble. And he was there, and God's promise and all that was restoration, that he would turn the hope or the trouble into hope. And I just want to encourage you today, if you're here today and you just know, it's not stuff you need to go back 25 years about. It's present today. You're in trouble today, that God has hope for you. That no matter where you've been, no matter what may be going on, no matter what's been done to you, God has hope for you, folks. That's his promise, that when we get with him, he will bring hope to our trouble. Amen? Amen. Amen. Third thing, freedom as in the early days, as is talked about. She'll sing. She'll sing again. I don't know, some of you may have been a Christian a long time. When you first came to faith, it was almost like this super joy. It's like this singing and this excitement. And then as you got into it, what happened? You got religious, or I got religious. That happened to me. I allowed going through the motions for God replace being with God. And my faith just became this religious experience. Just, oh, I do this now, I stop doing that, then I start doing this. And the idea of getting alone with God is not only restoration of the vineyards, not only turning trouble into hope, but it is giving us a new joy in our heart, a new song in our heart, a singing. That's why you see some of the folks around here, they're waving their arms when we're praising God, when we're worshiping. They got their arms up and they're flailing them around. Some of you are like, man, get them out of my face, will you? And it's just like, you know, you're like, why do they got to be so expressive? Why has Martha got to say things in the middle of the message? Because they're excited about God. Amen. There's joy. There's an excitement, and that's what should come out of all of this, is this newfound joy. And folks, honestly, I'm just going to shoot straight with you. If we come, as Steve said this so many times, and we just sit here like this, we're probably not encountering God in the desert. He's not speaking to us. Our vineyards haven't been restored. Our trouble hasn't been turned into hope. And there's just not a whole lot of joy. And we don't say that from a shaming point. We don't say that from a condemnation point. We just say, if you're there, if you know, and you know if you are there, if that's kind of your posture, even when we worship, gang, I just want to tell you, God wants to woo you out of his love into something so much better. Don't take that as shame. Don't take that as guilt. But just receive that as God's invitation to say, I got something so much better for you. Will you walk with me? Will you come with me? And then the best part of it is this last passage. The last part of the passage. Go ahead, Ken. When that day comes, you will call me my husband instead of my master. You see, Gomer was a beaten down woman. She saw men simply as masters. That's all they were to her. Just people that would beat her down, keep her down. And God said to her, honey, you know what? Some of those men may be cruel, but guess what? You're going to be my husband, or I'm going to be your husband. You know you have a loving, faithful spouse in me, that no matter where you go through life, I am with you always. And this man, Hosea, is a picture of my love for you. The way he loves you faithfully, despite where you've been, despite your prostitution, despite all the terrible things you've done, I'm calling you back. And Hosea is my picture to you of my love for you. And that's what God has for us, gang. He wants to take us, as we sang, again, draw me a little closer, take me a little deeper. He wants to move us from being simply religious to being in a deep, intimate relationship with him, to being his spouse. I know for guys, that's a little bit hard to get our head around being a bride, but that's what it literally says, that we are the bride of Christ. And he says, I want to give you an intimacy with me that far exceeds anything you're going to get on the planet. And let me specifically speak to singles, because, gang, we go out there and we try to find love in all the wrong places. And we do things, boy, that just, it destroys our vineyards, honestly. We get involved in bad relationships, we get involved in immorality, and we simply destroy our vineyards. That's what we do. And we're just setting ourselves up for the need of restoration. It doesn't need to just be singles, though. It can be men with porno, women with porno. Yeah, there's so many things out there that can become a lover to our soul, that God says, out of his love, I want to woo you into a place that I can speak into this and I can set you free. I can heal you. I can deliver you. I can refine you. I can empower you and I can bless you, because that's his heart for us. Amen? Derek, come on up, buddy, if you guys are here. And we'll sing and wrap up and pray. I just want to encourage you, you know, again, make those times to be alone with God where he can speak. And be quiet before him. We want to journey with you. I mean, we often talk here about belonging and serving and giving. I just want to encourage you to come and journey with us. We're going to take communion here. We're going to have some folks right over here that would love to pray for you if you're in the midst of this journey. But I just want to encourage you, out of God's love, he does this for us. It's not out of punishment. It's not out of trying to hammer you or hammer me. It's out of his love. He says, man, I got so much for you. But part of hearing my voice, part of tuning into me, is a willingness to go into the desert with him, where he speaks tenderly to our heart. He restores our vineyards. He turns our valley of Achor, our valley of trouble, into a door of hope, where he sets us free to sing with great joy, and where we grow in this deep intimacy, where he's not just this master. Our faith is just not this bunch of religion and hoops we jump through, but it's this intimate relationship with the God of the universe. He's our husband. Scriptures say, in heaven someday, that we'll be married to God. Matter of fact, this may shock some of you, and some of you may say, well, wait a minute. But it says there's no marriage in heaven because we're married to God. And our experience of that now is a foretaste of what is to come. And so many of us journey on this planet and never experience that while on the planet. We'll get it in heaven still, but we never experience it here. So let me pray. We'll take communion and we'll have some ministry time. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that out of your love that you woo us, that you allure us into the desert, into those places, Lord, where you speak tenderly to our hearts. And Lord, there you just do amazing things as we talked about today. Lord, your promises are just amazing. Lord, we love you. If there's anybody here today, Lord, that's just in that place, they know you are drawing them into the desert, I pray they will respond. And whether that's coming and praying with us, or whether that is getting home today and getting some time alone, Father, I pray for the husbands here, especially of the wives with young kids. Men, I just speak to you and say, make time for your wife to get alone with the Lord. Raising young kids is a challenge. Make space for her to be alone with the Lord. Lord, thank you for everyone that's here. Some of us here today may not even know who you are. We may not even know what it means to have a relationship with you. Some of us may just come here on basically the platform of religion. We just want to go and check off. We went to church. May hope we get a little inspiration. Lord, if there's anyone here today that has not simply given their heart to you, to realize that Christianity is not a religion, it is a faith journey. It is a relationship with you, the God of the universe. It's not about hoops we jump through. It's about who we know and who we walk with. Father, if there's anybody here today that's never simply entered into a relationship with you and simply said, and simply understood that you died for them, gave your life for them, I pray right now, Lord, that they'll just open their heart to you and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Give me a relationship with God. I'm done with religion. Forgive my sins. Make me right with you. And give me a relationship with the God of the universe that he may be my husband. Lord, thank you. For anyone that prayed that today, I pray that they will come and tell us that so we can journey and tell them more about what that means. Father, thank you for today. Lord, this next song, Oh How We Love You. Oh, Lord, may our love as we sing just truly be from our heart of knowing how much you love us. Lord, you say we love because you first loved us. So, Lord, let us get hold of how much you love us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.